the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Thursday, October 29th, 2020. I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell, and here are the headlines. Former Agriculture Minister Atherton Martes says DLP administration is obsessed with exploring geothermal energy while failing to capitalize on other cost-effective and high-return value renewable energy projects. Prime Minister Alan Chastney told a press briefing on Wednesday at the IMF World Bank annual meeting, St. Lucia has suffered massive unemployment due to closure of the tourism sector due to COVID-19. And UK's Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage has endorsed the character of the US President Donald Trump as a suitable candidate for re-election in the 2020 US presidential election. These are our headlines. The news sponsored by Koch Dominica Limited, and we'll be right back after this.
Hassle-free loans for your every need. Koch have you covered, best believe. Koch ready cash is for everyone. Not to worry, fast approval. Hurry up and come, come, come. We got it all, we on the go. Koch ready cash, you already know.
Ready when you are.
You're tuned in with Q95 News. At the fourth meeting of the first session of the 10th Parliament on October 26, 2020, Senator Annette Sanford voiced her concern about the closure of outpatient clinics at the Princess Margaret Hospital, PMH, as a result of limitations imposed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Her concern was expressed during her contribution to the debate on the IDA loan facility for the OECS Health Project.
Mr. Speaker, our doctors have been stretched and underappreciated, so much more that the outpatient department at the hospital is presently shut down due to staffing difficulties in the medical department. This will create greater stress for ward nurses, taking away privacy to patients, and of course, leaving our people in need of medical care.
Her concerns were met with statements from a minister of the government side of parliament, described by the leader of the opposition as categoric accusations of dishonesty.
I was also stunned to hear that the outpatient department is closed. Three of my people from my village were the outpatient last week. I'm stunned. I don't know which outpatient department was closed. I'm lost. I won't call names, but I know of all the patients I sent to the eye clinic. I sent to the orthopedic clinic. I sent to the surgical clinic. Who said outpatient clinic is closed? This has been extremely dishonest. This is very, very dishonest, and it's alarming, Mr. Speaker, that people can be that dishonest.
In response to claims of dishonesty on the part of Senator Sanford made by the Minister of Health, Wellness and New Health Investments, Dr. Irvin McIntyre, a memorandum from the Hospital Medical Director of the PMH to all medical doctors was revealed. The memorandum dated October 23rd, 2020, resuspension of outpatient clinics was read out by the leader of the parliamentary opposition, Lennox Linton.
It reads, I regret to inform you that with the exception of the oncology, ECG, and echocardiogram clinics, all outpatient clinics are suspended from Monday, 26 October 2020, until further notice. This has been brought about by the staffing limitations created by the COVID-19 pandemic. Please make every effort to accommodate patients for ward review where this is deemed to be necessary. You will be informed once the situation has changed. Please be guided accordingly. Best wishes, Dr. Ruby Blanc, Hospital Medical Director. It is copied to the Permanent Secretary, the Ministry of Health, the Chief Medical Officer, the Hospital Services Coordinator, the Matron, and the Medical Records Officer. And that memo to all doctors suspending outpatient clinics at PMH indefinitely is dated the 23rd of October.
Meantime, the United Workers' Party expects an apology to be issued by the Minister of Health, Dr. Irvin McIntyre, to Senator Annette Sanford.
3 days later, in the Parliament, for making that very disclosure, Senator Annette Sanford gets accused by the Health Minister of dishonesty. Now that we have established the truth and fact, we wait to see how long it is going to take the Minister of Health to issue an apology for his unfounded, wrongful accusations, because in truth and fact, it was he, the minister, who was indulging in dishonest behavior because he ought to have known what was happening at the National Hospital, which is under his charge as Minister of Health. He had the gall to categorically state there was no suspension or shutdown of the outpatient clinics because he sent people there last week, when in fact the outpatient clinics were at the material time suspended. 26th of October, when he spoke in the Parliament, the clinics he referred to were suspended until further notice. That's the truth. That's the fact. Now we wait for decency from the government side of the House and an apology to Senator Annette Sanford.
Wow. Leader of the Parliamentary Opposition in Dominica, Lennox Linton. Former Agriculture Minister Atherton Mate brings to focus what is described as the ridiculousness of the Skerrit administration in its obsession with spending all the country's resources allocated for various renewable energy projects in exploring geothermal energy, when studies already confirmed the cost effectiveness and time efficiency of other sources of renewable energy projects, such as photovoltaic, solar, wind, and hydro.
That happens to be energy source that was least developed, where there had been least research, where the technology was least clear and manageable. Dominica made a mistake of strategically putting all the available resources that were there for renewable energy, put it behind geothermal. And I can tell you that the count of dollars as of this year is that over $120 million has been spent already on exploring for geothermal energy. Nothing really has been spent on any of the other renewable energy sources.
Speaking to Q95 News earlier today, Mate contends the administration clearly did not pay heed to the low-carbon climate policy, which was passed in Dominica's parliament in 2012, though the administration has been seeking viable possibilities to construct a geothermal plant in Dominica.
The implications of that are what have us in a situation today, where even having spent $120 million to explore for geothermal, starting all the way back in 2005, 2006, 15 years later, we are unable yet to determine whether we have a resource in geothermal that can usefully develop into renewable energy.
The rapid advancement of technology in creating other forms of renewable energy currently exceeds geothermal energy initiatives in cost effectiveness and construction, while providing high returns on energy production.
The technology of photovoltaics, the technology of solar power has advanced so rapidly that whereas before, one panel of about a 3x5 foot panel would give you just a kilowatt hour, a couple kilowatts, whatever. Today, these can give you 300, 500, 1,000. So in fact, the cost effectiveness of solar power generation for photovoltaic new purposes has gone to this point now where today, in 2020, solar power generation is the most cost-effective renewable energy mechanism for power and for electricity. Yet we have not spent a dime, not a dollar, in developing, adapting, and installing solar energy.
So soil scientist and former agriculture minister, Atherton Mate. You're listening to Q95 News. Speaking at her 2020 graduation class on Wednesday, valedictorian of the Dominica State College, Melissa Williams, congratulated all of her colleagues for completing their studies at the institution.
I am proud and honored to be giving this speech. Congratulations, DSC class of 2020. We made it. We really did. To be honest, when I was told that I would be the valedictorian, I was surprised and overjoyed, but then fearful. I had to deliver a speech. Oh boy. Those who know me are aware of how quiet I am. Speeches are a challenge for me, but this time it felt different. I was full of excitement and eager to accept this challenge. Although I knew it would be difficult, I knew it was going to be worth it. Like most of the challenges we faced over the last years, this one was going to make me stronger.
Williams points out that although her graduation class faced many challenges, including Hurricane Maria in 2017 and the present COVID-19 pandemic, they were still able to rise above all this misery and emerge victorious at this stage of their learning.
From the very beginning at our time at DSC, we were faced with many hurdles. Most of us entered a DSC that had been battered and bruised by Hurricane Maria. Along the way, while trying to cope with classes, quizzes, tests, labs, papers, exams, presentations, and deadlines, we were presented with some unusual challenges. There were fires, invasions of toxic fumes that temporarily stopped classes, and even literal fiery roadblocks. Most of us also battled with personal problems at times. Then we were faced with the greatest obstacle of them all, the COVID-19 pandemic. In the middle of our final semester, our physical classes came to a halt. Many of us struggled with little or no internet access. We dealt with financial hardships from the shutdown of our country and the fear of this deadly disease and its consequences. It really seemed as though the world had been doing everything in its power to prevent us from succeeding. But you know what? It's ironic, because in all its efforts, we are here today.
Melissa Williams says her time at DSC has positively changed her life. She encouraged her peers to embrace the challenges of life.
Attending Dominica State College has broadened my mind and has given me knowledge that will take me and has given me knowledge that will lead me to greater heights. So now we have reached the end of our journey with DSC, and as we continue our journey through life, let us always remember that challenges give us strength, and how we deal with challenges define us. Let us not limit our challenges, but challenge our limits. DSC class of 2020, I wish you all happiness, strength, and success. We did it.
That was valedictorian of the Dominica State College graduating class of 2020, Melissa Williams. Now, Acting Deputy Police Chief Davidson Valerie announces that anyone wishing to host a public entertainment event must have permission from the Chief of Police to do so. The government of Dominica has decided to institute more stringent policies to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 during public events. Dominica has seen a series of newly confirmed active COVID-19 cases, many of which have been imported, both legal entry and through illegal entry. As a result of this, the Ministry of Health has decided to step up their game and enforce health protocols.
The government of the Commonwealth of Dominica, having regard to the public safety and security, has decided to institute more stringent policies to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 in our small island state, particularly during public events. Effective today, anyone wishing to host a public entertainment event must have permission from the Chief of Police to do so. A public event, as the name suggests, could refer to any event open to the general public.
Davidson Valerie says there are certain requirements which must be met, one of which being a 250-person crowd limit.
approval may be granted to the individual providing that they meet certain requirements. The organizers must provide the start and end time for the event. There must be no more than 250 people in attendance, inclusive of event planning staff. Each patron must be allowed 36 square feet at the venue. Organizers are encouraged to ensure that there is adequate security at the venues, as this would assist in enforcing the health safety measures. The application form is available from the Discover Dominica Authority and can be submitted to the Chief of Police via email to dompol@cwdom.dm.
And that was Acting Deputy Police Chief of Dominica, Davidson Valerie. President of the Dominica State College, DSC, Dr. Donald Peters, encourages the DSC graduating class of 2020 to, open quote, demonstrate continually to the world that you are DSC resilient certified graduate, end of quote. 387 students graduated from the Dominica State College on Wednesday in three separate ceremonies. This was to ensure the safety of the students whilst adhering to health protocols. These 387 students have proven themselves to be truly resilient at a time when the rest of the world is still battling a pandemic that has shaken many countries.
We should therefore take pride as a nation, because when it comes to fighting and containing epidemics, we are among the best in the world, and you students were part of that fight. I want you therefore, as you continue your education or join the workforce, to demonstrate continually to the world that you are a DSC resilient certified graduate, and that you will always try your best to overcome obstacles and become the best at what you do.
President of the Dominica State College, Dr. Donald Peters. The 20th anniversary of legendary Dominican politician, human rights activist, and late Dominican Prime Minister Roosevelt Bernard Rosie Douglas was observed by Q95 FM on October 1st, 2020. Douglas was born on October 15th, 1941, and passed away on October 1st, 2020. Speaking on Q95 FM radio on its Global View on Q show, hosted by Sheridan Gregoire, Mr. G, author and Dominican-born attorney Gabriel J. Christian, says the Labour Party, headed by Roosevelt Skerritt, has destroyed the work of Roosevelt Douglas, who passed away before getting an opportunity to upgrade the economy and improve opportunities for the citizenry.
We do not have the University of New Orleans. We do not have York University, which was his plan. We do not have Middlesex University and Ross, that they met there. For the departure of Ross University alone, this government should never have been re-elected. But we have people in Portsmouth that accept that, because we have been so dumbed down, we've been so abused. You know, there's something in family law called the abused woman syndrome. Sometimes some men are abused too, where the woman says, you know, if he doesn't beat me, he doesn't love me. We've come to accept mediocrity. We've come to accept disrespect. We've come to accept the insult to our intelligence as a people. I'm not going to put any sort of water in my mouth to speak truth to power. What has happened in Dominica is a disgrace to the memory of Rosie Douglas. Not one symposium by this government on the 20th anniversary. Not one documentary by this government with this billion-dollar economy on the 20th anniversary of the person who brought them to power. Not one monument of significance on the 20th anniversary of the person who brought them to power. Ungrateful, wretched.
Gabriel Christian added, if Roosevelt Douglas was here today, he would have asked Dominicans to get rid of the Roosevelt-Skerritt administration from public office.
Not one book published on the person who brought them to power. If there are $1 billion hidden all over the world, it tells you the character of the nation that we now have. And Dominicans are suffering because we've accepted wrong. We've accepted betrayal. We've accepted treachery. And now we have people calling Dominicans cockroaches and pigs when they speak out against the corruption, the rot that has destroyed our once free land. That is my position now, what Rosie would have said. He would have said, get rid of them. That's what he would say tonight. Get rid of them.
That was Dominican-born attorney Gabriel J. Christian. You're listening to Q95 News. Dementia in Central America and the Caribbean is the region in the world with the highest and most accelerated increase of persons with dementia. From November 23rd to the 27th, 2020, Alzheimer's Association of the Caribbean, AAC, will be organizing a virtual conference under the theme, open quote, Caribbean Responses to Challenges Living with Dementia During and After COVID-19, end of quote. The conference is an opportunity for persons to meet and to reflect on the current challenges that they face with people living with dementia in the Caribbean region during these times of the COVID-19 pandemic. Most of the information about living with dementia in times of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has been received, is written by scientific or medical professionals or caregivers of persons with dementia who are not from the Caribbean. What are our scientific and medical professionals or professional and family caregivers and especially our persons with dementia experiencing, thinking, and recommending? Caribbean experiences, ideas, and suggestions to deal with persons with Alzheimer's and other dementias during times of a pandemic will be shared in this 100% virtual conference. The 9 presenters for the Caribbean will be geriatrician Dr. Christine Lockham from Suriname, professional dementia caregiver Regina Posva from St. Lucia, community nutritionist Andrea Griffith from Barbados, medical sociologist and former UWI lecturer Dr. Joan Rawlings from St. Kitts and Nevis, mental health policy advisor Herman Jinzi from Suriname, psychologist Rihanna Patterson from Dominica, president of the Barbados Alzheimer's Association, Pamelia Brereton, mental health advisor, Dr. Taraline Malcolm from Trinidad and Tobago, coordinator of the steering committee of Alzheimer's Association of the Caribbean, Dr. Raymond Jesseron from St. Martin. Persons interested in participating in this virtual regional conference can pre-register with their National Alzheimer's Organization for their registration fee and payment details. Now, upon receiving your registration fee, you will be provided a link to participate in this conference, which will be available from November 23rd to the 27th, 2020. All registration fees received by your National Alzheimer's Organization will be a donation towards the work of your National Alzheimer's Organization to advance attention for dementia in the Caribbean region. All are advised to contact Dominica Dementia Foundation at gmail.com. More news, economist and senior economic and international policy advisor to the government of South Sudan in Africa, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, has praised the members of the Dominica Arts and Literary Association, DALA. The Dominica Arts and Literary Association says its vision is to promote Dominica's literary competences through a structured platform for extracurricular activities, enhancement of overall education, and cultural awareness. Members of this group consist of Matilda Popo, Dr. Irvin Andre, Dr. Dale Dangaben, Sharon Dorival, Shirley Allen, Giftus John, Zanita Lee, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, Sheehan Shannon Robin, Simone Matthew, and attorney Gabriel J. Christian. The group is scheduled to officially launch on October 31st, 2020. Speaking on Q95 FM recently, Dr. Fontaine encouraged DALA member and trauma surgeon Dr. Dale Dangaben to reveal his point of motivation for initiating this national association.
Quite of us out there writing books, very good books, different genres, from historical perspective about Dominica and the Caribbean to children's book. I know I've written some medical textbooks and things like that. There's so many of us out there, but I don't think that many of us know or knew about the other writers. So this is an effort to bring people together, you know, under that umbrella of arts and literary. I know in my journey in writing books, you know, I have different publishers, McGraw-Hill, Springer, etc. It's a journey of trying to find yourself and doing your own thing and bringing other people with you. And in that journey, what I found out, there is not a lot of literary agencies, you know, targeted towards, you know, Black people and more so Caribbean. So we tend to do a lot of our own work. And I've been able to do a lot of my own publishing and help some people along the way. So again, how do we come together and do for ourselves from editing to publishing, to printing, to packaging, and, you know, and not having to depend on other platforms so we can create.
Dr. Dankelman said the group seeks to advance literacy in Dominica while maintaining and promoting Dominica's culture internationally and nurturing young writers in the country.
That is really what incentivized me to sort of reach out and just to find out there's so many talented people, I mean, like we have out here, that can do such good work. I mean, you go from, you have some of us on here, Gifters John, you have Judge Irving Andre, people who have written, you know, tons and tons of books that capture our culture. But again, I always say that we're better together. So when we come together, we can showcase the work that we've done, no matter what genre we fall under. So that is what it's about. It's about celebrating each other, enhancing each other, and then giving a hand to the next generation of writers and creative thinkers from the Caribbean.
DALA executive member and trauma surgeon, Dr. Dale Dankelman. Prime Minister Alan Chastany says St. Lucia has suffered massive unemployment due to the closure of the tourism sector amid the global COVID-19 pandemic. He made the disclosure in an opening statement to a press briefing on Wednesday at the IMF World Bank annual meeting. Alan Chastany's portfolios include finance and job creation. He explained that the situation necessitated social and economic relief measures aimed at providing support to the poor and the vulnerable and those directly impacted as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. The Prime Minister noted that growth in the Caribbean region and St. Lucia has been relatively tepid and traditionally has relied on construction activity and tourism-related developments. He revealed that prior to COVID-19, St. Lucia recorded real growth of 1.7% in 2019 with expectations of 3-4% for 2020, open quote. St. Lucia also experienced a decline in unemployment during the period 2017 to 2019, which was driven by developments in the tourism and construction industry, end of quote, Chastany stated. He told reporters that while the decline observed in St. Lucia's unemployment was welcomed, estimates suggest that unemployment, as at early June 2020, went back up to 21%, primarily due to the effects of COVID-19. However, the Prime Minister said that despite the effects of this pandemic, the St. Lucia government has embarked upon a multiplicity of policy responses to help mitigate the effects of the crisis and bring relief to the most vulnerable groups in St. Lucia. This is Q95 News. UK's Brexit Party leader, Nigel Farage, has endorsed the character of US President Donald Trump as a suitable candidate for re-election in the 2020 US presidential election. Mr. Farage described Donald Trump as the single most resilient person he has ever met in his life.
A friend of mine, a lot of people say one of the most powerful men in Europe, Nigel Farage. Come on up, Nigel.
I got to say, 4 years ago, I was honoured to come to America to bring the Brexit message, the message that you can beat the establishment. And that is what Donald Trump did. He beat the pollsters, he beat the media, he beat all the predictions. And here's the worst bit, they've never forgiven him for it. They've never, ever forgiven him. They have spent 4 years trying to delegitimize him. 4 years of the Russia hoax. 4 years of a false impeachment. Most human beings under that barrage would have given up. This is the single most resilient and bravest person I have ever met in my life.
UK's Nigel Farage praised Donald Trump as the only leader of the free world who has the guts to fight against globalism and the only leader who has, open quote, the courage to stand against the Chinese Communist Party, end of quote.
And when you vote next week, you are not just voting for who the President of the United States of America is, vital though that question may be. You are voting for the leader of the free world. You are voting for the only current leader in the free world who has got the guts to stand up and fight for the nation state, to fight for patriotism, to fight against globalism. You'll be voting for the only leader in the Western world with the real courage to stand up to the Chinese Communist Party. You'll be voting for decency, plain speaking, and a man who in 4 years hasn't just cut your taxes, hasn't just improved the economy, but a man who right now is bringing Israel together with Arab nations in a way that nobody ever believed was possible. And that's what he's done. And I wish you Godspeed. I really do.
UK's Brexit Party leader, Nigel Farage. That's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Former Agriculture Minister Atherton Martes says DLP administration is obsessed with exploring geothermal energy while failing to capitalize on other cost-effective and high-return value renewable energy projects. Prime Minister Alan Chastney told a press briefing on Wednesday at the IMF World Bank annual meeting that St. Lucia has suffered massive unemployment due to closure of the tourism sector, and that's due to COVID-19, he says. And UK's Brexit Party leader Nigel Farage has endorsed the character of US President Donald Trump as a suitable candidate for re-election in the 2020 US presidential election. These are our headlines, the news sponsored by Courts Dominica Limited, and I am Richie Farrell.
Our news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens.